Hitler seemed to expect a showdown between the German superpower and the United States, perhaps in another generation after his time. When it came to war, however, between Japan, his ally, and the United States, Hitler declared war on the U.S. on December 11, 1941, after Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor, and cast the die in this gamble. The Second World War would also be brought to an end, which would spell the conclusion to these bombastic plans. The battle over Stalingrad in the Soviet Union in late 1942 and 1943 had grown into an emblematic struggle between the dictators. It had enormous symbolic significance. In this sense, it bore some similarities, both in the stakes as well as the ferocity of the fighting, to that great industrial battle of Verdun that we've discussed in the First World War. Hitler had announced how important it was to take this city, Stalingrad, which literally means Stalinville, to show that Stalin's own city, Stalin's own place of honor, was not immune from German victories. When the German army there, however, was surrounded by the Red Army, Hitler would refuse to countenance the idea of a retreat. And when the German army surrendered there finally in January of 1943 against his orders, this marked a symbolic turning point of the war, because the veneer that had earlier surrounded inevitable, supposedly inevitable victory of German forces in the field was now lost. The fortunes, the tides of war had begun to turn. This was clear in fascist Italy as well, which had increasingly come under the orbit of the Nazis. Benito Mussolini was deposed by some of his own fascist allies and was arrested in July of 1943, ending his domination of Italy. This fact in and of itself is significant. One can't imagine Hitler being deposed by some of his closest followers in the same way. Clearly, Benito Mussolini, though he was proud of being supposedly the archetypal totalitarian dictator, in fact had not achieved that measure of total control. Hitler, who felt that he would ever after owe Mussolini a debt of gratitude for showing the way in his political career, set special forces to rescue him from his captivity, and Mussolini was then finally set up to rule over a rump little puppet state in northern Italy, the Republic of Salo, where towards the end of his career, coming full circle almost, some have suggested, Benito Mussolini pursued more socialist policies, coming back to some of the affinities of his youth. Eventually, however, as Italy was itself lost to the Germans, as the Allies fought their way up the peninsula, Mussolini himself would be hunted down by partisans, killed, and ignominiously hung upside down, a bitter end for a man who had wrought such destruction in Italy. The war had turned against Germany. In spite of the belated total mobilization of the economy, which Hitler had deferred out of fear for how the German home front might react, the Soviet army now advanced relentlessly on Germany and was joined in the West by American and British forces in 1944 as the noose tightened on Hitler's Third Reich. Goebbels, meanwhile, pulled off some remarkable propaganda stunts even as defeat grew near. Goebbels argued that Stalingrad's defeat should not be hidden from the German people, but should in fact be played up. Germans could be motivated to fight not through confidence in victory, he said, but even more effectively through fear. And he would now play masterfully upon the anxieties and the consciences of those who felt what retribution might be in store after the Nazis' reign of terror. Hitler now retreated to the bunker in Berlin, awaiting the end. In the bunker, underneath the center of Berlin, Hitler began to lose touch with reality. In the strange last days of Nazi Germany, Goebbels sought to produce a final triumph of propaganda, and this already suggested his own loss of reality, the way in which this propaganda chief had come to believe his own propaganda about the inevitable victory or the glory of the Third Reich. Goebbels sought to choreograph the fall of Berlin itself as a film which wasn't on film, but rather would be enacted with real actors, real fighters, real leaders going down in defeat. This was to be the final act in a Wagnerian opera made real, a twilight of the gods, as the final crowning element of the myth of the Führer that he had crafted. And he, after killing his children and his wife, would follow his Führer into death. With the so-called Nero Order of March 1945, Hitler, without a trace of remorse, ordered the destruction of Germany itself to be sure that the Allies would gain nothing after he was defeated. And after leaving a hate-filled final testament in which Hitler announced with no trace of remorse that his hatred would arise again, he committed suicide on April 30th, 1945, in the bunker. In Asia, Japan was defeated with a dropping of atomic bombs, opening the atomic age. What would follow upon the horrors of the Second World War, however, contemporaries would be horrified to discover, was not the hoped-for peace, but rather a new standoff, the ideological conflict of the Cold War, to be discussed in our next lecture.